the book of Daniel. We've been studying in this Old Testament book, and we've been looking at some pretty amazing stories, and we've kind of camped on the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and this morning I want to talk about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar one more week, and I really want to contrast the character of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar and just some things from the dream and the story this morning. Daniel was an incredible man. I've said before that there's so many things about the book of Daniel that just get our attention. Certainly, I think of the story of Daniel in the lion's den and how that story just goes deeply to something about what we believe about God and what we believe about the possibility of faith that is real and tested and true. Daniel in the lion's den is in many ways like the story we're going to look at next week. Is God real in the good times and the hard times? And do we hold on to God when we're in situations that are difficult? And Daniel's story is absolutely incredible about that. We also have talked about how Daniel in the lion's den, he was probably pretty old. He was 70 years old or so from the context and the story. And he had great faith and courage when he was there. But we also know that it wasn't in the lion's den that Daniel got his faith and courage. Daniel developed his faith. He developed his courage. He developed his character. He developed his integrity over the years. And as a young man, even as a young boy, as a preteen, as a teenager, Daniel was making decisions about who he was and what he believed. He was taken captive in Jerusalem as a boy and marched along with about 10,000 other people to Babylon. And he was a slave. And because God gifted him in many ways and he applied himself, he was a great student. And he rose to really being pretty influential in Babylon. And then we have the story that we read of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and how Nebuchadnezzar, early in his kingdom, had a dream. He reigned for over 45 years, but early in his kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar had a very troubling dream that he knew was about his future, and he knew was about who he was as king over the Babylonian Empire. And this dream troubled him, and he wanted to know what it meant. And apparently he had it more than once because it was with him over the years from the context of the story. And he knew that God was speaking to him, but yet he didn't know who that God was. And for a time he opened his heart to understand who God was, only briefly, and we'll look at that in the story this morning. But today I especially want to contrast the heart and the character and the integrity of Daniel on one side and King Nebuchadnezzar on the other. I'd like to invite you to chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. I'm going to read at verse 46 through the first two verses of chapter 3, and we will look at a contrast between the character of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 2, verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and an incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. Our text this morning begins with an image that must have been a shocking thing for the administrators of Babylon to see. Their king, Nebuchadnezzar, the mighty king of the strongest empire of its day, has fallen down prostrate before Daniel. You think of that. This king, he is the king of Babylon. There is no one on earth, presumably at the time, as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar. And here he is, falling down, prostrate before Daniel. Who is Daniel? He's a Hebrew foreigner slave. And he's fallen down before him. What has happened? Why is Nebuchadnezzar fallen down before this Hebrew slave? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was described at the beginning of the dream of being the head of gold. I mean, this is what God called him in the dream. And Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. You are the most powerful. You are the most wealthy. You are the most strongest military leader in the world. You are the head of gold. And now, in verse 46, he has fallen prostrate down before Daniel. Why is it that the king would humble himself in this way? Then the king fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor. You see, Daniel had something that the king did not. We know that Daniel had an interpretation for the dream. I mean, we know that from looking at this story the last 3 weeks. Daniel knew what the dream was, and he knew what it meant. And this is what the king had been seeking for probably years and years and years. It's likely that the king, if he had this dream in about 602 BC, even before he destroyed Jerusalem, and it carried over to going back to Babylon and the years of training of Daniel and the others, and so it had to be at least 5 years between the time he had the dream and this point. And it could have been up to 20 or 30 years, because we don't know the dates, but it was a long time and it was many years. This dream had troubled the king so much. And he falls down prostrate before Daniel because Daniel has the interpretation. So I want to say to this morning, certainly the reason the king fell down prostrate before Daniel was because Daniel interpreted the dream. But I also want to say this morning that there were some other things that were going on in this story and in the heart of the king that's obvious from the story. Daniel had something the king did not. Daniel had something inside his spirit, inside his faith, inside his character, inside his integrity that the king did not have. You know, Daniel had something that was so real to the king. When the king saw Daniel, the king knew that Daniel had something very special. The king knew that there was something on the inside of Daniel that was incredible. Daniel had this character about him and this faith about him that absolutely got the attention of the king. And I want you to know that when you have faith and it's real and you live it out in your life, people will notice. People will notice your faith when it's real and it's lived out. You don't have to be a king. You don't have to be a Hebrew slave for people to notice your faith. You have to live your life that God gives you and face the circumstances that you have, face the problems that you have with faith, make the choices in the difficult times that God's in charge of your life. And if you do that, people will see faith in you. In fact, you might think, well, I've had enough problems in my life that people would never believe that I really trust God. But the truth is, when you go through difficult times and you show faith, that is as much or more of a witness than if you just kind of sail through life without any problems. Daniel did have a lot of challenges. We know of some of them in the book. But we know that Daniel lived such a life and had such an integrity that the king himself, Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, fell down prostrate before him, the mighty king. That has to show us just in that part of the story how incredible Daniel's influence was on King Nebuchadnezzar. And he highly rewarded Daniel too in the story. There's another word I want to say that how did Nebuchadnezzar respond to Daniel? He also responded to Daniel with much respect. Nebuchadnezzar respected Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar trusted Daniel. I mean, here's the king of the Babylonian Empire, and here's this Hebrew, this foreigner brought in, sharp and all that, but the king puts his total trust in Daniel after this point. After Daniel interprets a dream and he sees his character and he just absolutely trusts Daniel. He gives to Daniel basically the keys to the kingdom and says, you're now in charge. Man, that's quite a story. It's a lot like the story in the book of Genesis the story of the Pharaoh. You remember the story of the Pharaoh and Joseph, that Pharaoh had a troubling dream and there was this Hebrew slave that was in his prison, and somehow somebody told Pharaoh about this man that could interpret dreams, and he had Joseph brought out of the prison and brought Joseph in before Pharaoh. And what does Joseph tell him? I can't interpret your dream, but the God of heaven can. And here, a few hundred years later, 600, 700 years later, we have a story of a Hebrew slave who's brought before the king, and the king says, can you tell me my interpretation? And what does Daniel say? He says, no, I can't do it, but the God of heaven can. Both Joseph and Daniel, they pointed the king to God. They pointed this man to look at God. And that's the best thing we can do, is we can point people to God in our faith. In good times, in bad times, we can say God is there. God can be trusted. Whether or not we know what's going to happen, I believe in the authority of God. I believe that God can be trusted. Joseph did it. Daniel did it. And we can trust God with our lives, and we can point people to Him even when we don't know what's going to happen, even when we face difficult times. I mean, here's Joseph, this 17-year-old teenager, and he's pointing Pharaoh to God. He had been sold into slavery by his brothers, hated by them. He could have taken the attitude, well, God isn't watching out for me. God sure hasn't done what's right by me. I mean, Joseph could have had any attitude about there, but what did he do? He held on to his faith in God, and he pointed the king to God. And Daniel does the same thing. Daniel points the king to God. He interprets the dream, and he says that the dream is from God. And the king knows that. The king hears that. The king falls down on his knees falls prostrate before Daniel and gives him these incredible gifts. Amazing gifts that he gives them. Verse 47 says, the king said to Daniel, surely your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. You see, I notice about King Nebuchadnezzar is he took a step toward God. Right here, it's evident that he took a step toward God. He knew what Daniel said about God. And the king, when he interpreted the dream, he took a step and said, well, Daniel, your God must be the God of gods. He must be the God of kings. He like steps out toward God as if, okay, maybe I will believe in God. And I notice that God has given him an opportunity. But the problem with Nebuchadnezzar is he wanted God on his own terms. He wanted God to fit into a box, the box of the interpreter and the giver of dreams. He really didn't want to honor God for who he was. He didn't want to put his trust in God. He didn't want to believe God. He didn't want to do what God told him to do. Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity in this dream, in this whole story in the book of Daniel, to change his heart. And he could have become a man of God, but the king doesn't do that. He falls down prostrate before Daniel and he acknowledges God, but something else is going on in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. And that is, Nebuchadnezzar has this pride, and it's way too big. And he doesn't have room for the authority of God. He was able to take God on his own terms. He was able to take God as long as God fit into a box and did what he wanted him to do. You know, sometimes that's the way it is with our faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that seek him. You can't create God and believe in him and be right with God. You got to recognize the authority of who he is and what he's revealed. Sometimes faith in God can be based on circumstances. And if the bottom falls out, then we forget about God, or we say, oh, he must not really be real. I mean, we can say, God, if you do this, then I'll love you, I'll serve you, I'll believe in you. God, if you give me this answer I want. God, if you give me the right job. God, if you heal my mom. God, if you do this, if you are this, if you deliver this me from this problem, if you do it the way I want you to, then I will trust you. But I'll tell you, this story is about believing God for who he is and trusting him. I love about the Daniel, it's a book about faith. It's a book to challenge you to believe in God for who he is, whether or not the circumstances of your life stack up to those things or not. God is who he is. Daniel knew that. He accepted that, and Nebuchadnezzar did not. Well, the king recognized and rewarded Nebuchadnezzar in amazing number of ways. First, he started to recognize God's greatness, but he did not recognize God's authority. He gave great gifts to Daniel. That's pretty amazing for the king. It says here that he placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. That's pretty amazing, lavished. I mean, the king just profusely rewards Daniel. I mean, the way he treats Daniel, you would think that Daniel was God. He treats Daniel as if he's God. He bestows on him these incredible gifts. He gives him a high position. Verse 48 says that he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon. I mean, you got to recognize how incredible Daniel influenced the king. I mean, he said, you're in charge. He said, Daniel, you're in charge. And Daniel stayed that way as far as we know till the end of his life, as far as we know. I mean, we don't know anything else about that. We know several stories about Daniel. But at the end of the chapter, it says, over the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained himself at the royal court. So it tells us that Daniel stayed in that place of authority and responsibility, probably at least until the king died later on, 40 or years or later. And so he ruled over the entire province, and he was there for over 70 years. It was a long time. Well, there's something else that Daniel accomplished, and that is that Daniel got all the wise men off the hook. You remember the king had said, put him to death. They're fakes. They don't do what they're supposed to do. They are absolutely worthless to interpret the dream. Really, what he could have said is, you know, those wise men can't interpret God's dreams. Only God can do that. Only God can give them, and only God can interpret them. And so what does the king do? He relents from putting them to death, but he puts Daniel in charge of the wise men. Now he is in charge of the wise men as well. I imagine they were pretty grateful about that. Imagine how they felt. And then one more thing, it says, moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as administrators over the province of Babylon. So, you know, there's something else here about Daniel's character here. Daniel's character is Daniel did not forget his friends. Daniel did not forget that it was his friends who prayed in the night that God would give him the dream. You remember when Daniel heard that they were going to be put to death? What did he do? He went and he found his three Hebrew friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, I urge you, I plead with you to plead to the God, again, the God of heaven, that he will give the dream. And so they prayed. They prayed all night. Somewhere in the night, the Bible says, through the night, God gave the dream. After they were praying, God gave the dream. That reminds us, sometimes we've got to pray. We've got to pray in the night. That means it's not always easy. You know, the answers don't come easy and quick sometimes. Sometimes when we're facing things that are difficult, it takes a long night, a long month, a long year, many years. Daniel's prayer was answered in the night and through the night. I just want to encourage you, if you're dealing something with difficult, be patient. Call out to God. God hears your prayers. Whether or not you know it or you can sense it, God hears your prayers. And somewhere in the night, God answered the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And he gave the dream. And so after he interprets a dream and the king falls down prostrate, Daniel says, wait a minute here. I can't take credit for this. And he brings out the three friends and he says to the king, there's really three others, and I need to tell you about them. And so he says, would you appoint these? Because these were a part of the dream too. Three young men who believed and trusted God and lived it out. You know, this is a story with a pretty good ending, you know, for this part of it. They were rewarded too. They weren't the upfront people, but they were faithful. And they were rewarded. Daniel didn't forget his friends. At Daniel's request, which just reminds me of one other quality about Daniel. I don't think I've mentioned this word before, is Daniel was loyal. He was loyal. He was loyal to his friends. That's obvious. That's good. But it's true. He was loyal. He was also loyal to God. Remember in the first chapter, Daniel prayed. Later on in the book of Daniel, we're going to read, Daniel prayed no matter who was watching, no matter who was complaining, no matter who was trying to set him up to be put to death, Daniel prayed. Why? Because he was loyal to his faith. He was not going to stop praying because people were critical of him. He was loyal to God. He was a man with great character, a great loyalty, loyal to his friends, loyal to God. And it says Daniel remained at the royal court all his life, some 70 years or so, until he's actually living into the reign of the next empire. The first one was Babylon, gold. The second one was silver in the chest. That was the Medes and the Persian Empire. Daniel's there right in the court when the Persian king comes to power. His name is Darius, and he's the one that he's going to deal with Daniel about the lion's den. That was 60 years later after the first episode, the first story that we have here. Well, Daniel's character is amazing, but what about Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity to see God. I mean, he had an opportunity. God gave him a chance. Daniel told him that God's given you this, Nebuchadnezzar. God's given you the opportunity to see him and put him in the place of authority. For a while, it seems like Nebuchadnezzar, maybe he's hungry. I say that because he takes the step. He acknowledges God. But Nebuchadnezzar had something that was in the way, and that was his pride. That was his pride. He started to look up at God, but he decided that he was more important than the authority of God. So he had this pride, he had this ego, even though he acknowledges God. He does acknowledge him, but he does not accept his authority. Because we just move on from this chapter to chapter 3, verse 1. I don't know how much time is between chapter 2, the end of the chapter, and chapter 3. You have the words, Daniel himself remained at the royal court, and then you have a change of text. You have chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. I don't know how long that was. I don't know how long it was that Nebuchadnezzar thought about who God was and considered change and gave respect and honor to God. Apparently what he gave God was short term and it was short lived, because very soon, or I don't know how soon it was, it says King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up at the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Boy, he wanted a nice big idol to remind everybody about how great he was. 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. Sounds a lot like the statue in his dream. So what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He has an opportunity to acknowledge the authority of God, but instead he turns toward himself. And then he calls all the governors and provincial officials and treasurer and all these people to come and to see this great statue of himself. And in chapter 3, we have this great story that we're going to focus on next Sunday morning. I think it's one of the most powerful stories in the Bible. It's the story of the fiery furnace. It's a story of how three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would you go to that last slide, please, Nate? The story of how these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they refused. They absolutely refused to turn their faith and their back on God. Boy, when the king said, "You go in the furnace or you die," you know what they said? They said, "Even if we die, we will not turn our back on God." And these three young men, incredible faith, incredible ability and desire to live for God, able to walk in or be thrown into that fiery furnace and trust God. And it's not that they believed and they knew that God would save them. They may have thought God would. I mean, they knew God could. But you know what they said when they went, before they went in the fire? "Even if God doesn't, still, we will serve him." That's incredible faith. I'd like to encourage you to read the story. Read the story of the fiery furnace. If you can be here next Sunday morning, we're going to look at this story and the incredible faith that it took for these three men to stand up for what's right. And God gave us this story for a reason. We can have faith too that has great influence. We can have faith like Daniel. No matter who you are, no matter how you've gotten to this point in your life, whether you've taken all the high road or you've not been on the high road, You can come to a point in your life where you trust God with your life, and He can make you a person of faith. I pray that God will do that in my life and in your life too. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the incredible book of Daniel and the character of this man who was loyal, who prayed, who believed, who trusted, who confronted the king and who pointed him toward God. And he used that term over and over again, the God of heaven. I pray that we would have such faith. And that faith would help us, God, to stand up for what's right. And, Lord, stand up to the pressures of life. And there are many. I mean, every single person will be tested in their faith. Whether you grew up in a church home and you attend church all your life, or you're just learning about God and you're learning to trust Him and believe in Him, you will be tested. I pray, God, that we would know that. And we would step out and make the choice to trust God. Even when it might be hard, God, help our faith to be stronger, I pray. Thank You for Daniel. Thank You for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It can be done. Help us by faith to reach out and hold on to God, I pray. Thank You for this story. Thank You for this book. God, teach us what You want to, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank You for being here today. God bless.